And all the parents go, ah, yes, yes. For those of you who are with us for the first time or are not with us very often, this is a little bit different service than normal. As you can see, we probably can't see that, but there's water back here, and there's a good reason for that, because this is going to be a baptism time. And I just would like to say that anybody that we have some people that have already consented to baptism today, but, you know, anybody that would like to come forward when we're ready, feel free to do so. It's, you know, you can just do it in the clothes you're in. It doesn't really matter. It'll just be a little cold when you go out. But the water's warm. It's not like going to Johnson Lake or like we do sometimes in the summer or Hidden Lake at times where you walk out there and, you know, freeze while you're, you know, having the Spirit anoint you with baptism and stuff. So, as I was preparing this message, there were many things happening in Peggy's and my life, and not that there wasn't anything happening in your guys' lives. I'm sure things were just, but it's all about us today. It's, but I would get away for short periods of time and just be able to look at a couple of verses, and then begin to kind of think about those verses, realizing that I was going to have about 10 minutes to explain exactly what baptism is, how we get there, why we do it, and all that stuff. Jeff gave me 8, and I told him I needed 10. He said 9.5, and I said, okay. So here we are. And I thought what I would do is just read all of those verses that talk about baptism. I thought that would just read them, and then that would be good. But there are so many, you know, that it just would have taken me more than 9.5 minutes to get through them. And so for this little sermonette that we have this morning, it just didn't seem to work. But there were two things that were impressed upon me as I was looking at those verses. One, what gets us to the point of wanting to be baptized or desiring to be baptized? And the idea that all four Gospels record the fact that Jesus was baptized. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with Scripture, there's three Gospels that generally have a lot of the same stories in them, and just from a little bit different perspective. And then the one Gospel, John, takes a totally different perspective from that. It was written later and has a different outlook on things. But the three Gospels generally have the same stories. But it's pretty rare. There's very few stories that actually go through all four of the Gospels. And Jesus' baptism is one of them. And so we look at that and we kind of think, maybe there's something about that that we should consider. So that's what I'd like to do. I want us to kind of look at why Jesus was baptized. And Brent read from Mark chapter 1, and so we know that story. And I read an article the other day about a group of kids in Reardon, Washington. Anybody familiar with Reardon, Washington? Okay, people are from there. Okay, and the headline read, wrong glasses. Just can't make that print big enough without a whole book thing. So. The headline read, True Blue Pals. Mark Bussey, 16, of Reardon, Washington, poses with classmates from his high school in this eastern Washington state town. His friends shaved their heads to show support for Bussey after his hair fell out following chemotherapy for inoperable lung cancer. His buddies said they didn't want him to stand out in the 180-student high school. And as I was reading that, it struck me that that's basically what Jesus did for us. When we talk about baptism, why was he baptized? He was baptized to identify with us. He's come among us and identified with us. We are singing some of those songs now. We're celebrating that in a couple of weeks. We celebrate it every year. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came to dwell among us. He's taken on our flesh. He's taken on our blood, our experience, our joys, our concerns, our trials, our tribulations, so that He might help us. And in Hebrews, it talks about he hasn't experienced anything that we will not experience. He's experienced it all. And as we look at that word baptized, and again, it's a word that is never translated for us. It's just transliterate. It's just kind of brought over from the Greek into English. The Greek word is baptizo, and we just have gotten baptism out of that. And so we tend to think of baptism, you know, okay, we're going to sprinkle with water, or we're going to immerse like we are in the tub here in just a little bit. But the word actually means to identify with or to dip, to be associated that closely with. And it had to do with dyeing cloth. Not a dyeing cloth, but, you know, when we dye a cloth a different color. Okay, so we make that cloth a different color. That's what it was. And so it became so identified with that color. Okay, and that's what Jesus did. He went to the baptism so He could completely identify with us. And so we would know that he was identifying with that. So that we would know that we are not alone, so that we might know that we are truly, truly loved. And Mark Bussey, despite his illness, despite his troubles, was kind of a lucky guy. He had the best kind of friends that anybody could have. You know, they were willing to, although they didn't experience the sickness, no reason in the world really to shave their heads. There wasn't any pressure put on them, and they couldn't experience some of Mark's experiences, but they wanted to identify with him by their shaved heads. They walked in his shoes. They show him that he is not alone. They perform an act, and they gave him a sign. And we're lucky in that respect, too. Very fortunate, because we, too, are loved even much more than that, as we'll see in a couple of minutes. And we, too, are not alone. Jesus did not have to be baptized. There was no sickness. He didn't have any sin. There was no cause for him to repent. He had no reason, no need to undergo the baptism of John, and yet he did for our sake. So we see the baptism of Jesus as an act in which Jesus takes upon himself our burdens. Takes upon himself an act which he shows how complete his identification with us is in an event which he demonstrates what the saving love of God is like, much as the act of Mark Bussey's friends demonstrated their love and their care for him. Takes on the burdens that he must bear. The baptism of Jesus is an act which begins his ministry, the event which commences his process of proclaiming the good news, the start of a career which ends in our redemption for those of us who believe. So he begins his ministry by identifying with us, and when he did so, he receives power for his new humanity. He was God. He didn't need anything, but he was also human in the flesh, and he needed power for that humanity in the same way that we did. The power of healing and of saving, the power of the Holy Spirit, which descends upon him like a dove, we read at the end of that passage in Mark. And he goes forth from that point to teach. He goes forth from that point to heal. He goes from that point to forgive and to empower, until at the end he does as he does in the beginning, as he did all during his ministry. He takes upon himself the identity of every person that was ever born. He takes upon himself the burden of all and offers himself to God in their place. And it started with his baptism. Is an identification with us personally. He who knew no sin took our sin, died for us, and identifies with us in baptism. He was immersed, and that's what we're going to do here. There is an identification, and through that identification that he has with us, there is this bonding experience. His identification with us shows his submission to the Father, for through baptism Jesus said, "I have come to die." Every other teacher, every other philosopher, every other guru came to live. They all came to live. Jesus came to die. He says, I have come to die. Death did not interrupt his ministry. It was fulfilled. It fulfilled his ministry, his death. But because baptism doesn't end in the water, as we see, hopefully, Jeff, right? It's okay. Just want to get that plain and clear. It doesn't end in the water because he is pulled out again, which speaks of his resurrection. Jesus also declared to his Father, yes, I am submitted to your plan. I will die, but I will also rise again through your power. And not only will I rise again, I will come again. He's on his way. Noah was a man surrounded by water in which the polluted world had been drowned. And the dove comes upon him. And in 1 Peter 3:21, Peter writes that Noah and the flood are a picture of baptism, surrounded by water, dying to that world around us, and a resurrection to newness of life, as Paul declares in Romans 6:4. Jonah is another guy we think about when we think about water. Jonah, he doesn't jump into the water. He gets thrown into the water, somehow gets swallowed by this big fish, stays there for 3 days. The fish decides, okay, I've had enough of this, spits him up on the land. And he was resurrected, so to speak, on the beach at Assyria. Story of Jonah. Jonah was not a drowning of the world around him, though. Jonah was a drowning of the rebellion and the selfishness that was inside him. He didn't want to go where God wanted him to go. He wanted to stay where he was or go the other way. He had his own agenda, but through his baptism, this surrounding of water, he surrendered his will. And that's what baptism is about. It's not only are you dying to the world that surrounds you, you are also dying to the selfishness that's within you. So as we see these five people get baptized here, that's what they're doing. Okay, they are dying to that world that surrounds them. Okay, and to the selfishness that is within them. The baptism says, Lord, I will go wherever you lead, do whatever you desire, whatever that might mean, I trust you. You are my God and my King. Following Jesus' baptism, and we didn't read this part, but he is led into the wilderness at that point. And he's there for 40 days. And Noah faced his trials, and Jonah faced his trials, and then Jesus faced some trials. But only Jesus emerges victorious. He's the only one that made it successfully. Only one who was baptized and moved on to total and complete victory. Jesus, in his 40-day temptation, overcame Satan. He didn't fail. And because of his victory, baptism not only says, I am dying to the sin around me, I am dying to the sin within me, but most importantly, baptism says, I believe in the one who died for me. That's what these people are saying today. So when you're baptized, it doesn't mean you are going to be perfect from that point on. It means you acknowledge publicly that you are perfectly forgiven and perfectly loved, that Jesus Christ paid the price for every sin you have ever done, for every sin you are going to do, and for every sin you will ever do. He paid it all, total and complete. The one who was baptized and was victorious through these 40 days of trial and testing is now living in you, if you believe. Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ victorious, living in us. I don't know, others of you, if you were baptized or not. I don't know when you were baptized, but I would encourage you as you watch this baptism that you would reaffirm your baptism in your own heart with these people today. Be like Noah, watch the world drown and rise above it. Be like Jonah, die to your selfishness, and walk in newness of life. And if you have failed like Noah did and Jonah did, like we all have, know this, Jesus is our victory. He who knew no sin became sin for you. You are perfectly forgiven. Enjoy your salvation and live to that public profession that you make today. And very, very quickly, I'll close. Very quickly. The Bible tells us that we are all lost. There's not one person that escapes that. It's like we have a spiritual passport, and on that passport is our legal citizenship, and it is either stamped under sin or under grace. The Bible makes it very clear and very simple. We are under sin, or we are under grace. Paul's statement is that Jews and Gentiles, religious and unreligious, are all under sin. The person who lives a life of tremendous immorality and debauchery, who fits every description of Romans 1, 18 through 32, and the person who is conscientious and moral are alike under sin. It doesn't mean that every person is as sinful as every other person. There's a difference there. It means that our legal condition before God is the same for everybody. We are all lost. There are no degrees of lostness. If three people want to swim from Hawaii to Japan, okay, one guy gets out there, he can't swim at all, so in about 30 feet, he's gone. The other guy may be a little stronger swimmer, so he may maybe gets a mile, and he's gone. And the other guy, he's a strong swimmer. 30 miles, he's starting to get tired. 40 miles, he's gone. Common denominator is they're still gone. They're all drowned. So even though one gets a little bit further along the way, they're still lost. It doesn't matter. We have two things that need a remedy. One is our sinful nature that enslaves us to sin, and the other is our original guilt and condemnation that is rooted not first in our individual sinning, but in our connection with Adam. In Adam, we have all sinned. Somehow, in God's way of doing things, he has said, because of what Adam did, you are all connected to that and you sin. Both of those things need to be corrected. And that's exactly what the Bible is all about, what the book of Romans tells us, that God has paid the price for that sin. He has provided the remedy for both of those conditions that we have. And so we can go from that kingdom of darkness or that under sin point and become under grace simply by placing our trust in him. And that's what these people that are going to be baptized today have done. That's what has made them right with God. This baptism is a public profession of what has happened, something that has happened to them on the inside. That's what baptism is for. And we're so glad that it happened. So at this point, we're going to go to our baptism. I'm going to turn it over to Jeff, and he will go from there.